Podtacular episode 352, Beyond Halo-tainment, for March 9th, 2013. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and with me today is some very special guests. As you guys may notice that are here on the live stream, we are doing another show that's kind of outside the normal rotation, but that is because we have some very important and special guests with us today, and they come from a recent buildup of a community known as Beyond Entertainment. And I have three representatives from them. And first person that's on here is, you've heard him on here before, but he's now part of Beyond Entertainment, and that would be Siren. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having us on again.
Yeah, not a problem. We enjoyed having you on last time, and I believe the first time you were on, we had our most downloaded show for the podcast, so I believe you still hold that record.
Oh, we're beating that. We're beating that.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, we're going. Right. We're taking that one down.
It's a high mark to beat. I mean, 50,000, that's quite a lot of downloads for one podcast.
Yeah, we're happy. Waypoint helped us out. Twitter was pretty big. I think we can do it again.
All right.
I like our chances.
All right, fair enough. Joining you is two other people. You guys know them probably pretty well from a lot of competitive Halo. So first one up is Ghostiame. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I mean, this is really just, I guess, a great opportunity for us to, kind of explain what we're here to do. And, thanks for giving us that opportunity to do so.
Well, we're more than happy to do so, and we're very pleased that you were taking your time out of your day to come on the show.
Of course.
And joining these two fine gentlemen is Saucy.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having us on once again. And I've seen a couple of episodes of Podtacular, or listened to them, rather. You guys do some pretty good work, and I see you guys up on Waypoint all the time. Hopefully we can beat that, would you say 50,000?
Yeah, 50,000.
I did. Mm-hmm. We're taking that.
That's a lot, but that's a lot of downloads, but I mean, I think we got that, you know? I think we're going to beat that this time.
I'll tell you what, if you break 75, I will mail you each a bag of cookies.
What kind, man? It just all depends on the type, though.
How does oatmeal, chocolate chip, and pecan sound to you?
Sounds pretty good. I'll take it.
We'll take it.
I'll snipe those cookies.
Alrighty. So we are here to talk about Beyond Entertainment. Now, this is something that's come up within the last, I want to say, 2 months or so. It's a new community, new YouTube channel, however you want to categorize it. But it's kind of spawned off almost as a... I don't want to get into too much detail behind this because I know it's kind of a touchy subject, but there was a small split between what was known as the Halo Council, and they're still out there, but some of you guys have gone separate ways, and now you have established this Beyond Entertainment, and definitely from what I've seen you guys putting on YouTube, you guys are serious about what you're doing, and it's nice to see some more just kind of core-focused Halo entertainment coming out of something that's so new. So why don't you give us a little backstory behind how Beyond Entertainment got started, what's kind of your goal within the Halo universe and the greater Halo community, and just give us the rundown on what Beyond Entertainment is.
And I can take this first one since I was a part of actually creating the initial kind of lineup. Now, the person, if you know Muggsy, he's the other guy. There's three kind of people that came together. Me, Muggsy, and Ninja, and Eric here. I guess that's four people. But Muggsy contacted me on Skype. He's been trying to, he was trying to get some stuff started for a while, but kind of got shot down a little bit for creating like a group. And Muggsy, the montage guy, I don't know if anyone's seen his montages. I know there's another Muggsy running around on Twitter. He's doing some other Halo stuff, but this is the guy who makes montages. He contacted me about trying to, like, people have seen like Optic Gaming and stuff like that on the Call of Duty side of YouTube, and it's just kind of like a group of people who just want to put out really good content, right? And they put out all kinds of videos. So we were trying to do that. So he linked up with me. We came up with the name, and then I contacted Ninja, and then right after talking to Ninja, I contacted Eric, or you know, Ghostiame, and we kind of got this little group started. And from there, we were talking to some other pro players, you know, like Strongside, talking to Walshy, talking to all these other guys, and they seemed to really want to get on board with what we were doing. And then, obviously, the Halo Council kind of had some problems or whatnot, and that's when Siren kind of came on board and his guys. And, you know, mainly the goal here is to just put out some really good content and kind of mix it up with, you know, mainly just the main goal is just to bring people together for who are down to, like, put in some work, you know, and make some good stuff. Just so we can see Halo grow a little bit. You know, since Halo 4 came out, it's been kind of in, like, a slump, if you will. So we're just trying to, you know, revitalize the Halo community. And that would be what I would say would be the main goal out of all this.
All right. There's definitely been somewhat of a fallout. Not, I wouldn't say it's too extreme, but definitely with how Halo 4 was received by the greater Halo community, there's been some people, key people that have kind of drifted away from Halo, and the community isn't as large anymore. I'm hoping that we can see a big turnaround for that in Halo 5 as 343 kind of takes back some of the comments and some of the complaints that a lot of the community has put forth about the game. So right. I think this is definitely the transition phase for Halo, where it's going from Bungie's hands to 343's hands, and there's
and just to cut you off there, I've actually been working alongside Bravo a decent bit, as well as Kevin Franklin, and they are both taking suggestions. Very, very easy. They're very, you know, easy to talk to, and they listen to everything, and obviously they're trying to figure out which ones are the most time efficient for the time, you know, for the time being. So in the beginning, you know, they wanted to bring in all these playlists and what have you, and, you know, to make sure that there's fair, I guess you could say, stomping grounds, so anyone could play, and they have the Griffball community and the Team Doubles and Team Snipers, and the Majestic maps just got released, and Team Throwdown, and there's all these, you could say, niche playlists that anyone can really jump in and have a good time. So it seems like that's what they were focused on doing first. And now, you know, you see the nerf of the bolt shot, and you see a couple other things coming our way. And yeah, they're definitely doing a good job with all the resources that they have at hand.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that's going to make Halo 5 just that much better than the Halo 4 experience. Some people have also complained about the campaign and Spartan Ops. But and just Halo in general as a whole, we're seeing 343 put out what they knew how to best put out with Halo 4, and they're still a new game developer, so to speak. So I think this is one thing where we're just going to have to wait it out a little bit. Halo 5 is, I'm guessing, is going to come in full storm and just have a very clean cut experience. So that's kind of what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, it is a big, you know, for a newer game developer to take on something as huge as Halo. There's a lot of high expectations.
I mean,
and there's definitely a learning curve there where you have to really figure out what works and what doesn't. And right. I think that they're just now getting around to really understanding what everybody kind of wants and what works and obviously what doesn't work. So you know, obviously with Halo, like the multiplayer is really what it's what makes the game. You know what I'm saying? Like the campaign is awesome or whatnot. But it's really, it honestly just comes down to the multiplayer. That's where Halo kind of got huge off of, in my opinion. But so I think they're really figuring out what works and what doesn't. So yeah, Halo 5 should be looking forward to it, honestly.
And also to build on that, you know, they say that Infinity Slayer took, I think, 3 years to start or to finish, from start to finish. And King of the Hill took like another 2 years as well. So like they had to start from scratch. And again, like you guys are all, we're all concerned, obviously, about how Halo 4 is going to turn out, and as well as the upcoming Halo 5 title. And again, I think that they have, you know, a lot of stuff to build on. They've made some solid changes, and I'm excited to see what they do for, you know, not just in Halo 5, but again, the remainder of Halo 4.
Right. Before we get into too many more deep discussions, I want to, for every person that we have on the show that's brand new, we kind of get a little backstory behind who they are. So, Gustiame, if you don't mind giving us a little background of what your role in the Halo community is. And for most people, they know that you're a competitive player. So how did you get your start in competitive Halo?
Okay. Well, I pretty much got, I started playing, I guess you'd say in, from the bottom, just like any, what you do, what you got to do in the, in, and you go through, I got, go to the first MLG in 2005. And, after that, I got pretty much well known for Team Carbon in 2006, where I, played with Gandhi, Shockwave, and Karma. And, we won a couple tournaments back then, including the championship. So, after that, that's kind of where I got my fame from, as a player. But as I, continued playing, I eventually tried to get involved with the settings, in Reach and even in Halo 3 a little bit. Because I wanted to make sure, obviously, everything was fair and, you know, there was no, I guess, kind of bad spawns or anything that was really inconsistent within the game. And when Halo 4 eventually came out, I ended up making some settings that MLG eventually or originally appointed me to do. And so I did them for the game battles. And after that, I kind of took a life of its own and progressed into the team throwdown playlist that we have now. So in as V2 and again, there's going to be updates continuously because, 343 has been, again, they've just been so helpful in making sure that everyone gets, you know, what they want. Like the Griffball players have the Griffball League settings and they're going to continuously get updated. And, you know, everything's just, again, running on all cylinders. So that's kind of where I'm at now. I'm trying to make sure that, you know, Halo on the competitive side, you know, stays alive. So
very nice. All right, Saucy, your turn in the hot seat.
No, not as impressive as, you know, what Eric said, but, you know, placings wise or whatever, can't really beat that winning championships and such, but
you're
I played, my start was, I played a little bit of Halo 2, but nothing crazy. Then in Halo 3, I actually, I teamed with Ray. It was like my second event ever. I actually teamed with Ray, you know, Siren. And, we went to Meadowlands. It got just completely destroyed. But yeah, then I just kept grinding through Halo 3 and eventually got good. Made it to pro bracket a couple times and, you know, played Halo Reach and, made pro bracket in that, once because I actually quit during the, duration of that game. For the majority of the time it was out, I was taking a break. But anyways, I started doing YouTube stuff. Got kind of popular on YouTube a little bit. So, cause there's not a lot of, there's a couple Halo YouTubers, you know, but nothing insane compared to other games. And so, yeah, pretty much I would, you know, people knew me just from placing well. And then, you know, obviously the power of like Twitter and YouTube and other websites really got my name out there. And then it kind of brought me to this point where it was, teaming up with these guys and Beyond Entertainment to really, try to do something sick. That's pretty much it.
Very nice. You brought up an interesting point kind of with community there while you were talking. It's, I think Halo is one of those games where it kind of lives and dies by the community, but we have such a great and large community that Halo is just one of the most enjoyable and competitive experience at the same time. So while it still caters to that casual crowd. And if you guys have that who are listening have actually watched some of the MLG gameplay or the AGL gameplay and actually have watched those streams, they're really fun to watch because it's really high energy. And with how things have changed in Halo 4, it's just really amazing things to watch. So, I think that's one of the reasons why Halo 4 or just Halo in general is so successful is because of the community at its core.
Right.
And that's kind of what you guys are building on that is, kind of expanding just another little section of the Halo community, but at the same time, trying to refocus everything into what the Halo community is all about. And that's, there's a big portion of it that's the competitive multiplayer, which, most of you guys, kind of adhere to. But then there's some other, things in here, like some of the recent videos that you've put out with just some of the general gameplay, like, you have your 1 minute opinion video that came out. A couple days ago, you have a montage with Ninja that's, coming out soon, I think. And, we were so close to having Ninja on the show, but, he wasn't
factory, man. Every time
he's out on a little date, man. Can't blame him.
But we'll get him on at some point. But
yeah,
sure. Just in the short amount of time that you've had your YouTube channel up, there's just been a wide array of content out there. You had your beautiful Majestic video on there too, which I thought was really, really cool to see you guys put that together.
So far.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was amazing. That was amazing, honestly. I mean, the Snitality made that pretty amazing.
Can we just agree right here and right now that for something that's still running on a console that is, 8 years old?
Almost 8,
That Halo 4 looks pretty as hell.
Yeah, it looks nice.
They did a great job. The campaign looked amazing. All that kind of stuff. I thought it was really well done, especially like you said, on such an old console. I don't know how they made it happen on 30 frames, but they did it.
Yeah, it looks pretty sick.
Yeah. And like, I believe this is the first game that actually has true 720p.
Yep. Well,
jeez.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, they're pushing the boundaries. I'm really interested to see what they're going to do with the Durango. Because it's just that much more power now behind the game.
Right. Very true. Man, it should be insane. Like, they already made the game look pretty, like he said, campaign honestly looks stunning. Like, just some of the stuff that they did with that is pretty amazing, honestly. Right.
Now, there's been some talk in the chat that's going on so far, and it's kind of the flip side to how beautiful Halo is, and that's just some of the gameplay mechanics and the game engine as a whole. There's some things that are not quite there that I believe is due to 343's inexperience of making games, and I think that's where Halo 5 is really going to come in after they take all this feedback and be able to kind of reprioritize. It's like, okay, we need to have this set in stone from day one, like the file share was one of those things. But there's other little gameplay mechanics. So let's dive into that discussion for a little bit here and talk about some of the game mechanics that you feel needs tweaking and should have been there kind of from day one.
Here, let me open up this Word document real quick. Yeah. No, one of my favorite game types through all of Halo was Capture the Flag. And honestly, Halo 4 has killed it for me. Like, I get the idea behind it. It's a cool little option, but I absolutely hate it. And that's just, I don't know. It just sucked the life out of it for me. Just juggling the fight. There was so much strategy behind certain game types. Like, I have so many fond memories of, like, midship CTF, pit CTF, like, just those game types. And flag juggling for us, especially the competitive community, was so huge, and it just sucks to see that's gone. And I really thought they would patch it in, but there hasn't been much talk about it yet.
Halo 4 kind of introduces one of those interesting conundrums from a programming standpoint. I think if 343 was capable of making all the changes that the community wants, I think it would be in their best interest, and I think that they would have the mindset of trying to do it. But at this point, so late in the game, I think it's A, they're trying to prioritize what bugs or features to implement and fix, and B, what can they actually do with the code base that they wrote?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if the dropping of flag is something they can rewrite into the game without having to basically redistribute a whole new disk image.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some things that just aren't going to get fixed. Like, and that's what people complain. Like, I'm guilty of this as well. Just complaining. But some things are just ingrained. You know what I mean? Like, in order to fix them, they would have to start all over, kind of a thing. And it's just not worth it to put in that much time, especially when they're probably already working on, you know, or starting to work on, you know, Halo 5, I would guess. But other than that, like, one feature that I like gameplay wise, and this is just one little thing that gets me. Like, it might not be one of the main big ones that everybody's worried about, right? But if you've ever played Extraction and you're extracting it, and let's say some guy comes around the corner, you're mid-extraction, and you, like, quit extracting, you get stuck on the extraction, if you guys have noticed that.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And that is really so frustrating, because, like, I die to that so many times, and it's like you're glued to the floor. And it's just like, come on, man. Like, it makes no sense to me. And that needs to be – that's just a thing that really – it's, like, very kind of a minor thing, but it's kind of a big deal. Like, it really, really gets to me. So,
well, a lot of the things that are, I think, in people's mindset wrong with Halo is a lot of little things. There isn't really a big thing that I think is wrong with Halo other than the bolt shot, but I think we can all agree to that.
I think ranks was a big thing that they missed.
Yeah, that's...
I'm talking right now in terms of gameplay.
Yeah.
The one thing that I actually kind of am waiting on, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be coming at some point, is the Red X. And that's something that I feel is like the biggest deal. I think that was just made Halo call out so simple. And I felt Halo was always a game where you had to put your mic in to win a game. Like, you, in any playlist, you know, people are always talking, and you go into Call of Duty or any other game on PlayStation, anything, you don't have people with their mics in all the time, or really like ever in comparison to Halo. So I always thought that, that was the most basic form of communication for anyone to get involved. Just say, "I'm my ex," you know, even when you're playing with foreigners, they could say, "Oh, you know, I'm my ex," like, whatever. It was easy, and I thought that just kind of broke the ice and introduced the language barrier, or, you know, kind of broke the language barrier really, really quickly. And I hope to see it implemented in Halo 4 before Halo 5. So we'll see what happens.
Definitely, I catch myself saying "on my ex," even though there is no ex. I catch myself doing that all the time.
Yeah, I say it every now and then too. Another one of those things, just kind of from a GUI perspective, is I don't know how much of importance it is to you, but the medals just they don't really pop up as much anymore, and the scrolling text, it's hard to see, and then when you die, it all disappears instantly, so sometimes you don't even know who killed you.
I know, I was watching a Halo Reach montage last week, and it just seemed like the announcer and the medals just had more pop to them, or just something... The art style just stood out a lot more.
Yeah, I think the medals in this are kind of plain, it seems like. They just kind of blend in.
A bunch of Skittles kind of looking. I don't know. You know?
Some Skittles.
You know? Like, yeah. I don't know.
Well, they don't pop like Halo medals used to be. We've had pretty much the same kind of medal set from Halo 2 through Halo Reach, and then with Halo 4, they just changed it completely, and I don't even know what half the medals I'm getting sometimes, other than the fact that it pops up right underneath your reticle, like it says assist or rocket kill or something.
I think that's one of the things that's kind of bothered me about the whole switching from Bungie to 343 is, like, I get 343 trying to leave their mark, per se, on the game, but it seems like they just make changes for the sake of change instead of just, like, looking at it as a whole guy. Like, kind of CTF, the Red X, the medals, like, why... There has to be a thought process behind it. You just can't change it because you feel like it.
Something like CTF, I understand what they did, but I think for terms of like competitive Halo, it should have been an option in custom.
Yeah, there
games.
Should be an option to toggle. Like, at least have the option, if you can't juggle the flag, at least have the option to just like press X to pick it up or something. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
The auto pickup has screwed me over, and other competitive players can vouch for this. Like, you know, obviously, if your teammate has the flag and you're going to run next to him, make sure, like, protect him. If he dies and you're accidentally, like, you know, right beside him, the flag, like, you just pick up the flag. You know what I'm saying? You could be in mid-fight and accidentally just pick it up on accident, and it just kind of screws you over.
That's actually something that they when I talked to a couple of the guys at 343, they said that they're going to, in the future, look into hopefully implementing kind of the toggle option that we see in the oddball format, how you can go into custom games and turn, you know, turn the auto pickup off. So hopefully, again, it's I don't know if it's going to come or but at the end of the day, they are looking into all those types of things, and they are paying attention. So that's the thing, is that they've really truly expressed that they care about what's coming in, and they're paying attention, like I said, and whatever's time efficient for them, they're going to definitely get it, you know, done first, and then kind of carry it out accordingly. So we'll see what happens. Man. Yeah.
At least they're paying attention and listening and giving us feedback. I mean,
yeah, they are.
Ever since day one, since kind of the Waypoint crew was established and what eventually grew into 343, they've always been community focused and keeping an ear out to what the community wants. Unfortunately, it just didn't pull through in terms of like game development this time around. But I think for Halo 5 is definitely going to play a big role in what we're going to see in the final product.
For sure. And then, you know, just, sorry to cut you off, but just like another thing is, I'm sure that they, the way they kind of explain it is they don't want to go ahead and say, something like, hey, hold on. They don't want to go out there and say, you know, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to make this happen or we're looking into it, because if they come out and don't do it, then, you know, everyone's going to be upset about it. So they really just want to release things accordingly and make sure that everything works out perfectly before they go ahead and make any promises. So that's kind of why you see them listening, but not really, I guess, too transparent yet, because they don't want to make any false promises.
Which, at the end of the day, I think is better that they do it that way instead of just saying that, okay, we'll do this, and maybe not being able to do it because of some technical limitation and then having people backlash against them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
We would never get backlash. Ever.
That's kind of one of those really funny balancing points of the Halo community. It's like everyone wants so much, but at the end of the day, 343 can only do so much to the game before they have to basically rewrite the entire thing and try to implement something that is technically not feasible.
Right.
That's one of those really gray areas that I think people kind of misconstrue a lot of the time.
People throw it around like, dude, you guys need to fix this, and this right now, but they don't really think about like the, and I've done this too, but you know, if you really think about how much time it actually goes into fixing one little thing, you know, it's probably pretty time consuming. They can't just do it at the drop of a hat, you know?
Right.
And I think that's what a lot of people fail to understand. But at the same time, the mindset is, well, why wasn't this addressed before the game even came out? This shouldn't have even been in. But I think since the addition
whole, the
really,
whole beta discussion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I honestly believe if they would have had a beta, a lot of these problems could have been like nipped in the bud, man, before the game even dropped. Like if they just would have had anything, like not even a crazy beta, just a little beta, you know, like just anything, man. But they, I'm still not sure why they didn't, or if they even commented on why they didn't have one. But yeah, I think that was a big mistake.
Too much bandwidth.
Well, they said at the time of doing the beta, they just didn't have enough resources to dedicate people, doing off a branch build and then having people come back and do stuff. And I think that's kind of one of the downfalls of them being so new to the game that they just didn't have the manpower. And I think since they're now kind of established and they have a good game out there, it's not like Halo 4 is horrible or something.
I think the gameplay is really, really good on Halo 4. It's just missing a couple features, and I think it could be an amazing game.
I mean, we've seen people like Bravo get hired right off the back. So they're definitely looking at kind of expanding their arsenal, expanding their employee base, and really pulling in people from the community that are passionate about the game and know what the community at large really wants.
And for also to go on top of Bravo, they also hired Quinn, was a former worker at Epic, which was one of the guys that actually brought in spectator mode, which is one of the things our community has been screaming about forever now.
Yeah, so, I've been wanting a spectator mode since Halo 3.
Yeah,
it's just something, like, if you look at the Call of Duty spectator mode, man, they really nailed it. Like, you can go to every point of view, you can press back and see how, like, little markers, real-time movement of both teams on the map. Like, they just really got it down. And if I can't even imagine if Halo had that, how awesome it would be. Like,
just
it would
imagine
just be amazing.
Tournaments. Just imagine what you could do with Halo tournaments.
Yeah, the commentators, you have so much more to talk about, so much more like strategy and like, oh, look where they're pushing. You know, you can see these three people pushing here. Like, it would just make it completely amazing, you know, just completely amazing. But they said, I don't know, there wasn't enough room to do that or put that in or something, or it was too late. I don't know what they said, but hopefully for Halo 5, it could be implemented. I don't know why ranks weren't at the drop either. Everybody was screaming the whole time in Halo Reach since the beginning, like, rank the playlist. Like, Ray, how many times did we see that on Twitter? All the pictures of like beating kids 50-3 and like rank the playlist for like literally an entire
year. One of the biggest hits on the Halo console at the site during the whole summer was when Ryan Noob and his friends they committed suicide to go negative and come back. I don't know if you remember that when you were down one.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the greatest.
And they still won.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know they were listening. I know 343 had to have seen that because they listened to us about Bloom, you know, even though it might have been too late. But as soon as they took over, they removed the Bloom, you know? Yeah. I know they had to have seen the ranked playlist stuff, and I couldn't believe that it wasn't in this game.
I don't think it was them, per se. I think it's something with Microsoft or just something along that we're not seeing that.
Maybe, yeah.
Something with selling accounts, which is throwing the whole thing off. And I'm like, well, Call of Duty's got that league thing. Like, oh. I mean, how far do you throw the line for selling accounts? Like,
I don't really think that selling accounts is honestly that big of like a deal. Like, it's against the rules and stuff, but so is like DDoSing people offline and standbying or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be able to stop it 100%. You know,
yeah, I mean, if you're going to turn ranks, reset them after a month. Like, I'd be cool with that. Every month, grinding for my 50, then restart the next month. I mean, like, we already solved the problem.
Something like that. But for them to just kind of it just ruins for everybody. Like, nobody, like Halo 3, Halo 2, getting that rank, you feel, and knowing that you're playing for something, even on Call of Duty, man, I have Call of Duty. Playing that game, like League play, it is really fun. Just the fact that you in the game, you know that you're like trying to accomplish something, right? You're not just playing, because once you hit SR 130 on Halo, you know what is the point of really searching matchmaking? You know, you get bored after like an hour, or at least I do. You're just not really playing for anything, kind of a deal. I mean, that's just at least with me, but I don't know.
Well, in Halo Reach, I mean, even though we didn't have the ranks in there, you're still playing to up your rank as a Spartan, because it was hard to rank up in that game.
Yeah, what happened between Reach and this game? Because
I don't know. I mean, people were in 130s what within 2 weeks.
Yeah, like I don't.
The double XP.
My friends list is 130. I don't.
It was those double XP codes. It just freaking launched everybody up.
Yeah, I think I'm at 115 right now, but that's just me playing maybe 10 hours a week.
Yeah, I still haven't maxed out my Halo Reach account. I'm on that. I don't even know.
Yeah, we got like 3/4 of the way through, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's just so easy to rank up in this game, it seems like. And then once you hit that max, once you hit that ceiling, I don't know. It just seems, I don't know, man. It just didn't make me, doesn't keep me coming back like Halo 3 or Halo 2, you know?
Right. I think that's one of the things that may be kind of a downfall for Halo 4. And I don't know what, let me know what you think of this opinion, but I think with what 343 has done with Halo, they pretty much have one game of forgiveness, and they have to bank on Halo 5. And if they don't bank on Halo 5, they're going to drop out.
Sorry, Joe. Did you...
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I'm excited for Halo 5, but honestly, I'm just really hoping for Halo 2 anniversary with multiplayer. That's all I want right now. Is I just really hope they don't pull a Halo's anniversary. Like, I love Halo anniversary, but the multiplayer not being part of it really gutted it for me.
You say Halo 2 multiplayer, Ray?
Yeah, I want Halo 2 multiplayer, like,
so
anniversary.
That's
all I need.
Dude, no game is ever, literally, maybe it's just like a nostalgia type thing or whatever, but I don't even care. No game has ever done it, like, for me, entertainment-wise, than Halo 2. What did you say the other day, Ray? That game was crack?
It was
that crack. Game was legitimately crack. Like, I could not get off of that game. It was so much fun.
You know, I'm going to get really nerdy. I went back and looked at my Bungie stats a few months ago, and I looked at the first day I played, and I played, like, 50 games in, like, a day and a half span. I'm like, what the f***? How did I sit that long? Like, I don't remember that.
It was just crazy fun, and you add in the Xbox Live feature. That, dude, like, that was just insane. It was so much fun. And I'm just waiting. It's ever since then, it seems like the experience online for gaming, maybe it's just because we got used to it or something. It's not like exciting and new, but it's just gone down for me anyway. That game was just literally, if they came out with the anniversary thing with the Xbox Live, like multiplayer, it would probably kill like the sales of any game, I think. Like, I don't know, or get close, because that game was just sick for real.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to do the whole Halo anniversary thing, just remake the maps for Halo 4. Because even if you're basically remaking an entire game at that point, I don't know how much of the code base you can reuse from a game that was that old and built for the Xbox, not the Xbox 360.
Right.
I always hear that too. Then, like, I think, well, they had Perfect Dark from the N64, and I got that on the Xbox Live Arcade. I mean, like, where's the line?
I think the code base, they just basically rewrote it for the Xbox code base. I don't think they upgrade it, or?
Yeah, they updated the graphics.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the line is on that, but I mean, honestly, like me asking you, if they released Halo 2 Anniversary, like brand new game, and it had multiplayer enabled, how many people do you think would buy that and play that? Like, would that not? Would you think that would be more popular than Halo 4 right now if they like updated the graphics and did all
that
stuff?
That's also another problem too. It seems like they don't want to split the community. I mean, that was also another issue why they also with the multiplayer for Halo 1. I believe that's what they said. Don't quote me. I think it would sell well. Like Halo Anniversary sold, over a million copies. I want to say.
I think that would do so well. that would definitely sell for sure.
I mean, everyone loves the old Halo games, regardless of the age. And I again, it's just hopefully they can emulate that kind of stuff in Halo 4 and in Halo 5, because I think the reason that they had it right was just the versatility of the playlists and how efficient matchmaking was, and everything was just very well set up, and the interface and the UI, everything was awesome. So just, you know, maybe not exactly emulate it, but you know, take some tips from them, and obviously Halo 2 Anniversary would definitely sell because it had such a huge amount of buyers in the first one, and I'm sure it would go, you know, the same way for the next.
So what if 343 did something that was halfway, where they took certain elements of the Halo 4 engine, like they took the core engine but they put some updates to the campaign and the multiplayer, where like in the multiplayer you can dual wield, but all the physics are the same and the weapons are from the Halo 2 weapons and the maps are Halo 2, but all the other gameplay aspects are Halo 4 engine.
I mean, yeah, I think that anything is cool. Obviously, again, it's just then, yeah, like Joe said earlier, the nostalgia factor is just definitely always prevalent in any of those games. You know, when you play even when you play Super Mario 64, you still think about the old Marios. There's, you know, and you can't replace Super Mario Bros. Or Super Mario Bros. 3 for Christ's sake. Oh man, those are classics. And, so yeah, I mean, obviously everyone has a formula to their game, and, you really just gotta kind of look back on your history and see why you're successful in the first place, and, take some notes from them.
So I was never around back in the Halo 2 days. I got my start with Halo 3, but what is your opinions on having something like the clan system be reintroduced back?
Oh my god.
Definitely. Now. Right now.
Didn't they say something?
Is that on the same level as kind of like having the ranks in game?
Yes, dude. That is another thing that just, it was so cool to have that.
For its time. Think about that. That was like, what did that drop? 2004?
Yeah.
Like, 2004 had clan matches where you literally somehow joined a clan that could have up to 100 people in it, and you could go into the clan playlist. Like, are you kidding me?
And just play other clans, man.
Have a rank for your clan? Come on.
So
that
sick.
That was 9 years ago. Christ.
It's just never been back, dude. It was, like, so popular. That was amazing. Being in a clan, like, everyone... Who wasn't in a clan, dude? Who wasn't in the clan? Seriously.
I know for Pot Tackler, we had 6 like recreational clans and 2 pro clans, and then one that was all the all stars.
Yep.
Way back in the day,
it was just so sick. It was so sick. Why couldn't they have that in here now? Like, I don't get that.
Didn't they say that before launch? I swear they said some kind of buddy system or something along those lines.
I vaguely remember hearing something when they were doing Halo 3 and people were wanting the clan system back, that Microsoft said that no, this is technically against the terms of developing games and having like a secondary friend system within the game or something like that.
No fun allowed here.
Exactly.
Seriously, man. Like, come on now. Come on. You can't have a second friends list. That's what they're saying.
Remember,
like, really?
When they got Remember when they got rid of the original Xbox Live thing and everyone thought they were just going to expand the friends list and it was just basically to add Kinect? I think that's
I remember
what happened there.
That's a huge thing because if you think about it, if how long has Xbox Live been out? So you got to think you accumulate a ton of friends, so it would eventually get somewhat bigger, maybe 50 friends or even hopefully 100 at some point. But and that's where the clan match came in to help out is because you could just say, oh yeah, I'll just add you to my clan. It's not even a big thing. It's just like where all my friends are chilling at. And you just add a person, and that's like your second friends list. And geez, right. Like again, just so way before its time, the functionality and the whole idea of it was just really ingenious for its time.
The clan match playlist or whatever, man. That was the best, man. That was the best, hands down. So fun.
Shout out to Detach. I used to team with that guy, and I didn't even know it. 2004.
Mad nice. Respect out to KSI. We're on turf clan match.
You deep.
I was actually talking with someone who's worked for Microsoft before back at PAX Prime this last year about the whole friends list thing. And apparently it's very technically intensive for them to do that. And it would be a huge overhaul of the code base across all Xbox 360 games, because apparently it's the 100 friends list is actually hard coded into each game.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, that's where the clan match comes in. That's where the clan needs to come in. I mean, you just always got to look at it a separate way. I'm sure that each game could come in with its own, you know, Gears friends list, or like the game could come hard coded with its own Halo friends list. You know, I'm sure that there's something that could be worked out there on the game side. You know, for each individual developer, there's definitely got to be something there. But again, you wouldn't need to do it for games that aren't, you know, that big of a deal for multiplayer. It just with, you know, the ones that are, such as Call of Duty, you know, Gears of War, Halo, Far Cry, stuff like that. And then obviously all the EA Sports games, which are absolutely massive.
Right.
And that should be a feature that's just per game dependent, not necessarily across the whole service.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. I mean, again, Halo 2 just somehow nailed it.
It was ahead of its time, I swear.
Really was, that, man.
And when we first got it, everyone was, you know, obviously Halo 1 was unbelievable, balanced competitively, everything. It was awesome. It took skill. And Halo 2 obviously took a decent amount of skill at near the end when everyone learned out the glitches and all that kind of stuff. But, it was very simple to shoot in comparison to Halo 1. But at the same time, it enabled people to play online at such an easy fashion. It was so you jump in, you could glitch in your own custom games up to the top of maps, and there was just so many so many versatile ways to use Halo 2 and you know, get some enjoyment out of it.
Let's kind of deviate a little bit away from the gameplay and the kind of the game engine features and talk about the maps. A lot of the maps, especially ones from the Majestic Map Pack now, are very well done. It's nice to see some new ones out there, and I think everyone was happy to see Valhalla Return. In terms of just the maps in general, are you guys really content with it? Because I think the greater community at large is very happy with at least the map side of thing.
It's a lot better than Reach, I'll say that.
Yeah, it's not directly based from campaign. That was the problem for Reach. It was
the recent map pack was just spot on. They really hit it. I mean, obviously the Crimson hit the you know, big team battle side perfectly, and the kind of Infinity Slayer a little bit perfectly. But at the same time, I think that this Majestic really catered to, you know, the smaller communities, and they're even putting Forge, you know, maps in and all that kind of stuff in the test playlist and in team doubles and all these things. So, you know, obviously there was that's just a clear indication that they're listening to the community on those subjects.
Yeah, I didn't think obviously like Eric said, there's going to be somewhat of like a bias, you know what I'm saying? Like the Crimson map pack, to me, I just completely did not like them. But I don't play big team battle. You know what I mean? Like, I don't play big team battle, so it doesn't really, I mean, it matters if I don't like them, I guess, but I don't play that, so really not my thing. But the Majestic map pack, just crazy good. Crazy good. Is better than the Crimson map pack, definitely, in my opinion. But yeah, I don't know. Wasn't a big fan of the Crimson one at all.
And that's fair enough. I think everyone has their own kind of playlist they'd like to stick to.
Right, right.
What about the... There's been some of the ones that actually came out during the Community Forge Test playlist. And we actually have Shutout, which is the Lockout remake, and a couple other ones in there that it seems like the competitive community has really latched on to.
Yeah, I think Shutout's really good, man.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, Shutout is made by Salat, and we... You know, worked a little bit together on the spawns, and we also are preparing to update it as well. So what we're going to do is any of the maps that have ever been, you know, seen in any of the playlists, we're going to try and keep updating per se, so that we can have everything, you know, kind of play a little bit more balanced, and you know, try different power weapon spawn setups and all that kind of stuff, so everything plays a little bit more fair.
Are there any of the other like Forge maps that have been out there, not necessarily in the matchmaking, but have been really appealing to the competitive playlist or the competitive
Simplex.
Players?
Simplex. If you ever played Simplex, that, that's really popular.
Station 9's been somewhat popular. I always like Lotus. That map's got some hate.
I like Lotus with DMRs, but with BR, I don't really think
Lotus
it works
with DMRs
that
also. Well. And then the other, obviously, we're also tweaking the new Majestic map back. So that's gonna be implemented hopefully sometime soon, and that's they again did a great job with that, so it can kind of, I don't want to say push out some of the Forge maps, but sometimes they have screen lag, and you know, we just want to make sure that everyone kind of has a fair shot at playing. But thankfully we're gonna eventually be able to put in a little bit more than, you know, just 11 game types, so we'll switch up the maps and keep it fresh from, you know, time to time, and make sure that everyone kind of gets their map in the rotation.
That's really good to hear, and especially from the forging side of things, because I've heard quite a bit of dissonance from the forgers with some of the tools that just aren't quite there. But it's good to see that despite some of those tools lacking for the forge system, that some of these maps are still coming out and are being utilized and very well adopted by the majority of the Halo community.
Definitely.
So,
for sure.
Is there any kind of other maps, like if you would want to see Remix come back into Halo 4?
Bitship.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Bitship works in every single Halo game of all time. It just
needs
to be
scaled. Think it would work with Sprint?
Just needs to be scaled. That's all.
Yeah, that's the thing about maps people forget too, is like, you got to do scale.
And if you make things vertically challenged, it doesn't cater to the sprint. That's the other main factor. So I actually have like another guy, another forger working on Construct right now. Construct remake, making sure that plays actually, you know, like fair with split screen, so there's no screen lag. And then we also have Slot working on an Onslaught remake in his spare time. He's fixing that up, so we might see that implemented as well. So there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and then we again want to see some of the new creations from forgers, and you know, we want to make sure that they're scaled. You know, the more versatile the maps are, such as Midship, which could play Capture the Flag, Team Slayer, King of the Hill, Assault. I mean, the list. I'm sure it could play Extraction now in this game. So there's just, you know, the more versatile the map is, obviously the more balanced it is. So hopefully we can see a little bit more, I guess, examples of that in the future.
All right. One of those kind of magical moments of competitive Halo 4 that I think I've seen so far is how quickly the competitive community picked up Extraction and just how much positive light it's gotten. What is it about that game type that just fits the mold for competitive Halo so well?
For Extraction, you said?
Yeah.
Just the fact, I like personally, just from playing it and with a lot of pros and stuff like that, the fact that you have to kind of coordinate if the Extraction, like on the map Dispatch, that's another Forge map that I think we missed from earlier that is becoming popular. Dispatch, which is in the Throwdown playlist and stuff like that, there's a lot of Extractions that are, let's say, that are bottom middle, right? There's the one that goes bottom mid, and it's really tough to get that, because there's just so many angles where you can get naded and shot at and sniped, you know, blah, 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 blah. So your team has to be on point, right, to get an extraction. Everything has to be flowing. You have to be, you know, you basically have to get the other team three down to get that bottom middle. And then setting up for the extraction, once it gets extracted, you have to defend it, you know. That's like another part that's competitive that I find like satisfying, being able to hold down an extraction. And then you have to really set up for when the next one moves. You have to know where it moves, and you guys have to be on it right when it moves to get the next one. And I think that's why it's such a big deal for competitive, because the better team truly does win. You know, the team that knows the maps and knows where they move will win the game. And I think that's why it's pretty successful so far, anyway.
Right.
Definitely.
There's a couple more topics I want to cover, but is there anything else from the Halo 4 multiplayer side of things that you guys wanted to touch on before we move on? Anything that's like game type specific, any more game mechanics? I don't know if you want to talk about the weapons.
They mentioned obviously a title update where they're going to tweak some of the weapons. They already obviously tweaked the bolt shot, and
thankfully
we're going to see some other things come around. But obviously besides that, I'd also like to just see a lot of toggle options implemented. You know, I realized that Infection doesn't have sprint in it. So obviously they can turn off sprint to an extent. So I want to see if there's toggle options for, you know, anything, any changes that they make in the playlists. It'd be nice if they could also implement them at some sort of an update on the custom side, on the custom game option side, so that we could, you know, kind of choose those things. It makes it a lot easier for us and hopefully for them. Then you won't hear us complaining at all.
I know this doesn't directly impact the competitive community, but I think one of the best gifts that Bungie gave to the Halo community was that insane game type and how many options that you could just implement in a game with what you could do in Forge. And I want to see some of those things kind of brought back into Halo distributed throughout the rest of the game types, and just have that kind of game type of back available, because it really caters to customs. And if some of those things that were in that insane game type could be applied to things like Slayer, CTF, King of the Hill, it wouldn't just make the casual gameplay that much more enjoyable, but I think there would be some competitive tweaks that would be really, at when they would be there, essential to the competitive crowd. So I want to see something like that kind of be brought back into Halo. Some people are in the chat are mentioning race. What's your feel on having the race game type? Because I know from a casual perspective, I would love to have race back.
I think race, again, there's certain things to me that are cemented as like Halo staples, and they almost like re-envisioned them, the whole thing. And since Halo 1, they've had race, they've had active camo, which is like used as a power-up, and all those types of things. I think that there's certain ones that are staples. Again, even you could say de-scoping something like that.
Oh,
so
my god.
That have been staples in that Halo formula that made it unique. So again, it's just you got to see what you can do and weigh your options and what you can do in the most efficient time frame. But again, there's just a lot of things that we see hopefully come back from the previous formulas. That's all.
Yeah, and on the topic of descoping, which I've actually seen a lot in the chat, people have been
I've seen it
saying
too.
Descoping and flinch or whatever. I don't know if descoping, because like to the casual player who's just getting on to play for fun, I don't know if they really care that much about it, right? But when you're playing at like a super high level and you're playing against pros, and like playing against a pro who's good with the sniper, and he's not getting taken out of scope when you're shooting him, I don't think people really understand how frustrating it is that you just can't like stop them. You know what I mean? Like if they're not going to miss, you know what I'm saying? They're not going to miss. They're not getting taken out of scope. So when you're shooting a pro or somebody who's good at the game, and they just blame you, they just peel you back, you know, it's so frustrating, man, just to know that on any other Halo game,
you relied on just even a body shot to just throw them off.
Right. But now they're just going to Yeah, like one body shot take them out of scope, but now you're pouring shots onto their face and they're not getting taken out of scope and they can just line up the shot. You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't, I don't know why that is in the game. That needs to be gone. Like, now. Like, that should have been gone when the game came out. That shouldn't have been in. And I think a beta, once again, really would have let them know that. But, yeah, that definitely needs to be taken out really, really soon. I don't know if they can take it out. Like you said, some stuff is just too hard to take out. You know, they'd have to recode or whatever, you know, and it would take a lot of time. And I don't know if at this point they're able to do that.
Right. I guess a couple more conversations that comes to mind is, first one, armor abilities.
Get rid of them. I mean, like,
I think they have a place in there, but again, it just, we have to, like you get, like, one another major thing is kill times that people discuss. So yeah. Let's say we cut down the kill times to, you know, even if the BR is cut down to the kill time of a DMR, you know, we could obviously.
So I thought those were actually the same. Effects,
you know? No, whoa, no. Very,
I thought
different.
Nexi put out a video even comparing the two, and I thought that if you hit all... I thought if you hit all four shots, with the last one being a headshot, that it was the same time as the DMR.
Maybe with changed up damage settings, but there was like a bunch of tests that were done in the beginning that...
Okay.
That kind of led me to believe that it was a coin flip when you're shooting, I guess, anything around mid-range or past that. So I obviously just kind of stuck with not messing with the damage settings, but thankfully 343 kind of expressed some interest in a classic playlist eventually, so maybe we could see that getting implemented on their side where it kind of works as a four-shot BR. But yeah, right now, the battle rifle, I think, is somewhere around 1.75 seconds, and the DMR is something like 1.43 or something like that. So
right.
Technically, you can get 6 DMR shots off before the BR user can get off 5 if you start shooting at the same time. So
okay.
So yeah, so obviously you can miss one or whatever, but regardless, yeah, it the DMR definitely takes a little bit more skill at anything more than anything that's mid-range or higher, for sure. And then obviously when they're close range, it's really up to the user and see how well they strafe and whatnot. But again, it's really in the eye of the beholder. But yeah, it someone always compares it to Pepsi and Coke, which I really agree with. I think that's a great comparison.
Yeah, and at least they did have the option in there for the whole ordnance drops. That you didn't have to have those. I think that was one of the smart things that 343 kept in there was the fact that you could take those out.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
It's nice.
So a couple more topics to wrap up the show, because Ray said you guys have something to do here kind of soon.
That's Ghost.
Yeah, around
8:30. Okay. I got to play actually with the good old Team Carb, and Karma actually just signed on Halo 4.
Gonna nice.
Play some games with them.
Very nice.
Yep.
So, as far as competitive Halo, it's everyone probably already knows that MLG has dropped Halo from its pro circuit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, come on, respect your roots kind of thing, but whatever. They've gone kind of the corporate, big-timey organization now, so... We will see.
Right.
If we see Halo back, then we'll probably follow it again. But right now, the attention is on a new community called Arena Gaming League.
Yeah.
So that has been kind of the new competitive Halo prime time organization that's running all the big competitive community stuff. And their first Halo 4 event... post-launch was AGL Chicago, and it turned out to be a really good event, and this is another reason why I would have loved to have Ninja on the show, because yeah. he's now kind of that pinnacle competitive person now. He's kind of the one that a lot of people have been talking about, with just his mannerisms and how he acts is just kind of iconic in a way. he's very kind of a goofy individual.
Yeah, he's a pretty funny guy, man.
So a couple of things going with AGL. Ray actually introduced, or well, not necessarily directly introduced, because we actually still haven't talked to each other yet, but I believe he was, is Brad the founder, or what's his title now?
Yeah, for AGL? Brad, I think he's the one who kind of started, or that's the face that everybody knows. I think he has a partner or something, but I'm not sure what his name is.
So we'll actually have him on the show probably here within the next month or so to talk about AGL as a whole, what they're about, what their future lookout on Halo 4 competitive is. And they actually have an event going on right now as we're recording. It's, what'd you say, Nashville?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, sorry.
Jersey. Yeah, Nashville's the next one after Jersey.
Okay. So they have AGL New Jersey going on right now. And it's definitely smaller than MLG. It doesn't have as big of a backing, but I think given some time, enough speed will probably build up. Their stream actually got over 5,000 viewers that first stream, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing okay for kind of Halo being what it is right now. But I mean, for MLG and stuff like that, MLG, if you've ever, I'm sure you've watched a live stream from MLG, like for a Halo event or really any event.
Oh, he's been to events before.
Yeah. I've been to.
Okay. But I mean, just like watching the live stream on the website, everything's very professional. Everything is very, everything's very sleek and clean. You know, all the graphics are good. The transitions, there's really not that many problems that come up, you know. All the commentators are good. And that's one thing I think AGL, they're kind of, I've been watching the New Jersey stream a little bit. They're getting better, but I think in order for it to get really big, like, you know, like not even MLG status, just for them to expand, they kind of have the, I think they're, what is their motto, Ray? Uncut raw Halo, raw uncut Halo.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to kind of abandon that mindset and kind of go with the, sure, like trash talk is fun, right? But it can't get insane. It can't get, you know, crazy personal, like for somebody.
Funny you
like,
mentioned
stabbed.
That because I actually tweeted about that on the last day of AGL Chicago, and I actually got a response back from somebody. It's like that's not what they're about. It's, I mean, the more raw and uncut, the better. And my retort was, well, the Halo community at large doesn't necessarily want to hear all the trash talk. They're there for the gameplay, not to hear someone yell across the aisle and just pour out obscenities.
Right. And I mean, there's obviously going to be cussing and stuff like that if someone gets out PR'd, blah, blah, blah. But there's been a lot of tournaments where they take it a step further. And like, if somebody knows somebody on the team, like personally, they start going at their personal life, you know, blah, 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 blah. And
that kind of thing, that I think that's one of the reasons why MLG never really got to primetime television, because there was one time when they were on Spike, right?
Yeah.
There was one event they did Spike. They were premiered on Spike TV, and I think that's just one of those things where esports is kind of in that gray area right now of being something that you would actually broadcast on primetime television, but there's still that kind of, in my opinion, immaturity of the sport,
for sure.
And then immaturity of the actual players.
I just, the whole esports thing, I don't know why they're trying so hard for TV, because I can't see, like, classic TV being around in 10 years without, like, how everything is streaming online right now. Like,
right.
You know, like, I watch maybe one show a week, like The Walking Dead on TV, and anything else is just, like, SportsCenter of that.
I watch Daily Show and Colbert Report. That's about it.
Yeah, and you could just pick those up
on Netflix.
Yeah. Or
Hulu
what
Plus.
Do you call that?
Yep.
Yeah, Hulu Plus. That's what it is. It's like, they got us. I don't know. They're stressing too hard about TV, I feel. And I honestly don't. I don't see esports being on ESPN.
Well, it's not even TV at this point. It's more or less, if you're trying to develop a crowd and develop a community around competitive Halo, you want to present yourself in such a way we're going to be able to attract more people and attract more of that casual audience. And I think, to your guys' point, the way that they have it set right now is just not conducive to that. And they really need to kind of dial back on the raw and uncut thing. And keep it unique to their style, but you need to kind of temper it down a little bit and present yourself a little bit more professional.
You need to be. They're not professional. Like they need to everything that they're doing, like the commentating, they need to get real commentators in there. They can't just have every tournament they have literally. It's like a free for all in the commentator booth, man. Whoever is near it can just grab the mic and do whatever, and it makes people leave their stream. Like I don't know why they're not kind of.
Well, then all the
that.
Technical issues that they ran during that episode. Too. I'm a techie person. I know how to do stuff. I my degree is I have a master's in computer science, so I know how to do stuff. But I'm looking at it, it's like how are you guys missing just these simple things? If you had one person that was there dedicated running the controls for the stream and the audio, you wouldn't have any of these issues. Heck, I would even if I was at one of these events, I would volunteer my whole time to do their technical stuff.
That's the other thing too, because they never asked. They just like for help. Like Walshy would have came down and commentated their Chicago event since he's nearby, and like you for example, you would have helped out at their event. It's just they try and. I don't know, try to play the underdog role, I guess. I don't get it.
I also think I don't know Brad that well. I don't know the crew behind AGL that well, but it may be one of those things where they're so new, they don't want other people to come in and kind of rule what they're doing, and they want to kind of make a name for themselves first. But you got to have people there that you know how to do the job and that you can trust up front that they're not going to do anything they're not going to do anything that they know you wouldn't kind of go against their style.
Yeah. I think that they're past that point of being so new or whatever. They're kind of at the middle stage now because they've been doing, I actually went to their first tournament they had in Chicago for Halo Reach. So I think they're kind of past the point of that excuse where it's like, oh, we're new, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But now that
feedback after every event on what to do, and it's literally the same stuff
and
that
it's
we
constructive
tell them
stuff
every event.
Too. It's
yeah,
not
it's
like...
nothing nasty. It's nothing like, oh my god, what are you doing? It's like, hey man, like hey Brad, like I have Brad added on Skype. I'm pretty sure we all have Matt on Skype, like Eric and I think maybe Ray. I'm not sure, but we tell him let him know, like dude, you will get way more viewers if you just get some good decent commentators in there, or if you get someone to do your graphics where it looks professional type of thing.
Like the ones right now, do not like it.
They're upgrading. The ones now are an upgrade, but they're still not where they need to be. Like just to put it blunt, they're not where they need to be. And if they want to see this grow, they got to present it like they're.
I think like professional. I think we're not angry so much. I think we're just so motivated because of how close they are. So like getting over that.
They're like two things.
They're right there.
They're two things away, man. They're two. Yeah.
And now they've hit that kind of mainstream thing where they are the focus of the Halo community, and that might be another one of those things where they have this massive influx, and it's like, oh crap, what am I doing? Kind of reaction. Yeah. So, and this is the kind of way competitive Halo is going right now. This is the direction they're taking since MLG dropped it. So they're going to have to kind of man up and reach out to other people to kind of help bring AGL to what it can be, and it has the potential to get as big as MLG got with Halo.
It could. I mean, there's nothing going on with Halo right now, but I feel like not Brad or anyone, but maybe Brad. I don't know, man. But the people, there's a couple people make decisions. I think Brad is like the end all be all over there, where he kind of makes the final decision. But I feel like that they're really stubborn. That's what I feel like. They don't like, because we've been telling, we tell them over and over and over again, not just us or anything. It's not like me telling him over and over. It's like the community. I see the same things that is being said to them. Like, who are these commentators? Why is the stream shut off? Like what, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, either they're just not.
And the Astro listening didn't even work.
Right. Remember the meme? They just don't fix it. They don't do it.
Remember that meme or meme, whatever it's pronounced? Or
meme?
Meme. 6,000 viewers shuts off stream. Like,
yeah. Dude, they hit the peak of their stream, and the stream just, like, shuts off. Like, maybe it was an accident or whatever.
They did it on purpose.
Man. It's like they're either stubborn or they just seriously are just ignoring it or not taking it serious. But it's every event. It's literally this. I see the same things as being said to them, and it's just
I don't know if they're making an effort. At the same time, I think that like we just kind of hold them to a really high standard because what we've seen and been like desensitized to already. Like we've already witnessed MLG do it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So we want for them. We want them to like get to that level in a short amount of time because we're just so used to such great production quality and all that kind of stuff. So,
right.
I mean, yeah, he's making strides, but he's listening. So, and he's definitely getting better. So,
it's slowly getting better, and I can give him that. It's slowly getting better, and I mean, Eric's right. Like, I think the Halo community has been kind of spoiled by MLG because everything was just not flawless, but it was really professional and well done. You know, and they had a good cast
doing that. I miss the days of that center stage.
Oh, yeah.
Those definitely were the days.
Yeah.
I miss the MLG Dallas Halo 4 main stage.
What main stage?
With no chairs and everybody sitting on the
I remember when that came out, and I'm like, I forgot who it was that was working the event, texting me like, hey, dude, there's no chairs here. I'm like, what do you mean, no chairs? There's no chairs at Halo. I'm like, no. They'll put them out.
There were no chairs the whole time, and the Halo station was right by the front doors. So like at near the end of the tournament, you know how like everybody's knocked out and there's like five teams left type of a thing, dude. The front door was literally like a traffic jam. There was like
everyone was sitting there.
Yeah, everyone had to sit on the floor, and we were like the Halo community is like blocking the doors, man. Like because there's nowhere else to go. Like the no chairs, and they put it in a weird spot.
Well, like then the venue people were actually kind of pushing people into the crowd. I was behind the ropes in the console section because I had media pass and everything. But I saw like the guards combine, like trying to shape this pathway out.
It was like swimming through a sea of Halo kids to get out.
The moment of the event was when they were interviewing Kevin Franklin, and there's just this giant sign behind him saying, "We want chairs."
Oh
my god.
Oh no.
There's a couple other signs over there too.
That was ridiculous, man. I mean, chairs, come on now. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, geez.
Yeah.
But,
one thing real quick, since Ghost Yami, you have to leave really soon. You wanted to bring up a topic about a certain someone kind of coming back to Halo.
Oh yeah.
So you wanted to cover that real quick?
Yeah, Gandhi actually has been somewhat of given the return of Gandhi via Twitch TV. He's been, you know, streaming almost every single day. I think he's on day 11 right now of the return. So he's just been playing a lot of Halo and
he's hilarious.
And letting everyone watch, and yeah, he's quite the show. And I never thought I would see that happen. So it's been a blast, and he's been really doing his own thing and making it in public, not only on Twitch, but then putting some things on YouTube. And yeah, just wanted to kind of give him a shout out, and that he's kind of putting in the effort to kind of help out with Halo. It's awesome.
That's good for him.
Yeah.
He's been killing it lately.
So, I don't know if you want to go ahead and head off now. We just have a couple wrap-up things.
Yeah.
Me and Joe can handle
it. We don't need Eric anymore.
We don't need Eric, dude. We don't need him.
do you want to tell everyone where you're heading off to?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually heading off to go play with the 2006 team of Team Carbon. So,
oh yeah,
about to play with them. You can catch them on twitch.tv/GandhiMLG. Check it out. You probably see it on Twitter and all that kind of good stuff. But
he's gonna stream it, Eric?
It's actually under our suggested channels right now.
I might stream it as well. If I stream it as well, it'll also be on twitch.tv/GoBeyondENT. So yeah, check it out.
Awesome.
Come join us.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on. Hopefully we'll have you on not in the too distant future.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep. Have a good evening and good luck playing with the old Carbon team.
Thank you. Have a good one. Take care, guys. Yeah.
All right. So as far as kind of wrapping up the Beyond Entertainment side of things, why don't you guys go ahead and plug where you are, like your YouTube, Twitter. I don't know if you have an actual website. I don't think you do yet, or at least I haven't noticed it.
Wink, wink, yet.
Yes, yet.
Not yet, sir.
All right.
The YouTube is youtube.com/GoBeyondENT. The Twitter is the same thing, twitter.com/GoBeyondENT. And yeah, the Twitch, it's all the same. Go Beyond ENT, Twitch, you know.
Keeping it consistent. Very nice.
Yep. Just to make it easy on everybody, you know, we don't want to switch up the URLs or anything. But yeah, we're starting to stream a little bit more, like you said, like Ghost said, but we're kind of focused mainly on the YouTube right now. So if anyone wants to check us out, it would be the youtube.com/GoBeyondENT, and that's where we're posting up a lot of good content. Some pretty high quality, stuff, I think. Yep. So
yeah, the videos that you've been putting up over the last month or so have been really, really good.
Oh, dude, we've only been running the channel for about, what's it, almost...
Your first video says 3 weeks.
2 weeks.
Your first video says 3 weeks.
Right. We uploaded the intro video, and then a couple days later, probably like 3 or 4 days later, we uploaded our first video. So it's been about 2 weeks now that we've actually been doing content, and we've seen a lot of success. So in a very short amount of time. So looking forward to keep on moving and, go even further. We also have a couple partnerships from guys over at, I'm not sure if you've heard of this. They're pretty big. The Halo Forge Epidemic.
I've heard of them.
Yeah. They got like really 75,000 subscribers, man. They're pretty big.
Halo channel. Really nice. Really
yeah,
nice
they're guys. Super nice guys, man. Crazy nice. They're all about working with the Halo community, bringing everyone together. To kind of grow as a whole, you know, and as like a new channel starting out, that's, you know, that's a big deal to have them helping us and stuff. The dude, Julian is who we've been talking to. Super nice guy. And also we have a partnership going with, NV controllers. They just do some custom controllers and stuff, do some pretty nice work. But yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, was there anything else that you guys wanted to touch on before we wrap up this show?
I'm good unless Ray wants to touch on something.
I think we just hit about everything. We talked about ranks, which was why I came here. But
dude, that extraction thing, man, I'm telling you. Getting stuck in the forwarder, that is so ugh.
Yeah.
But well, yeah, I think we're good.
Sweet. Well, hopefully, I've actually talked to Siren about this. I don't know if he spread the word to you, Gandhi or Ninja, but hopefully we can have you guys on to kind of help complete our War Games miniseries. We're actually talking about all the maps. So,
oh, no, I didn't. I don't think
we're I talked to Last Man, actually.
Oh, you
talked
to Last
Man. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk a little bit more after the show.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
But it was a pleasure having you guys on. It's really nice to see what you guys are doing with Beyond Entertainment. I've really enjoyed it, and I just want to point this out. We talked about it pre-show a little bit, but the intro to Beyond Entertainment, if you guys haven't noticed, is somewhat strangely familiar to what one of the Waypoint intros were like 2 or 3 years ago. So I find that really kind of funny. But it fits
I've
well.
I've actually not seen that. If you can find that and send that to me, I really kind of want to see.
Yeah, we'll get it post-show. Okay. But yeah, so I like what the content that you're putting out there. You guys have several different series going on. There's the 1 minute analysis that I believe you premiered this week. There's your top five that you're doing. What are some of the other shows that you're looking to do with the channel?
Oh, on our channel?
Yeah.
So far we have the top five series, obviously. That's been pretty successful. I think we're about 8,000 views on that. We have also myself and Ninja. We're doing a series called War Room where we kind of, it's like kind of like a strategy thing, you know, where we break down what to do on each map, the best way to play each map, and stuff like that. We also have a lot of other stuff coming out that, you know, it's kind of a wait and see type of thing.
Yeah, Click's got is you're doing it wrong. We're going to probably mix up the top five a little, and we do have a special cat. Should we make that official yet, or should we hold off on that one? Who's doing the
podcast
next one?
Podcast exclusive?
Oh, you can tell. Yeah.
We're going to be having Walshy do the next top five for us, so we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, Walshy, agreed to do the next top five, and we're pretty excited for that. That should do very well, obviously. Who doesn't know Dave Walsh? You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
I wonder if he remembers me at all. I've met him a couple times, but.
Really nice guy.
Maybe. Yeah. I actually just
he's,
met
he's
him.
Super, he's super just down-to-earth type of guy. Yeah. He's really cool.
Yeah, he's awesome. I met him for the first time at the Gamers for Giving tournament, and we talked a few times. He's super nice, yeah. I agree. He's awesome. pretty cool guy.
We got Click Here Doing It Wrong is going to be premiering on our channel next week, too.
Doing It Wrong?
Yeah, you're doing it
like
wrong.
That. I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of serious where he takes these kind of side challenges, per se, and tries to win the game. It's pretty entertaining stuff.
Nice.
And I think Muggsy's actually editing a montage, I believe, right now. I don't want to kill me.
I'm not sure. I think, are you talking about Strong Side?
Muggsy. Did I say Strong Side?
No, I mean, like, he might be editing a Strong Side's montage.
It is. Yeah, he's saying he's doing one for himself.
Oh, for himself. Okay. So I know Strongside already tweeted this out before, so I'm cool to say it. There's going to be, you know, the Infinity Challenge that happened?
Yeah.
For the truck or whatever, you know, Strongside won the truck, and Muggsy and him are going to be collaborating to do a little truck-tage, if you will. And that's going to be going up on Beyond. I'm not sure when.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Pretty elaborate, and it's going to be pretty sick. And there's going to be, you know, obviously some content with the car itself, stuff like that. So it's going to be pretty awesome. That's coming up. So
that
a lot
is
of cool
awesome.
Stuff coming up, going down on Beyond Entertainment's channel.
And you guys just started. That's kind of one of the beautiful things about what you guys have done is you guys just started out and you already have this massive influx of viewership and just support around the community.
Yeah, I think that's the thing I like about this team the most, too, is because we just feed off each other so well and just come up with these ideas, because at least like a few times a week, I would say, we just sit down and just brainstorm ideas, and we just get stuff done, which is something I really love.
Yeah, everything is like a well-oiled machine, if you will, here. Everything goes down.
Inside
quote. We have an idea and we execute it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's really good. That's something that's kind of essential to have in order to be a good, strong, at least from a YouTuber's perspective, and we're more podcasts. Like we have some videos out there, but we're not a huge YouTube presence.
Yeah.
But in terms of podcasts, I think we have it pretty much nailed down.
Oh yeah, I can't really think.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not even a podcast guy, and I've heard of what you guys. I've actually checked out a few of your shows.
Awesome. Before. Sweet. Well, if Ray has anything to say about it, he's going to try to make this one the most popular podcast ever for Podtacular. So we'll see what happens.
The yeah, local we'll campus and open it up on every F5 that all day.
Put on Reddit, HBO, Waypoint, all
oh,
that good
yeah,
stuff.
It's I got Lewis Wu on call. It's done.
Oh, so do I. So
yeah, this will be featured definitely in a lot of spots. So
right. Well, thank you guys for coming out and taking the time to kind of go give us the background look behind Beyond Entertainment and a little bit more deeper into the competitive community as a whole. Hopefully we'll see a lot of good developments come out of what they're going to be doing with title updates in Halo 4, and then see a lot of the community feedback really be plugged in to a solid Halo 5 experience, and maybe we'll see Halo 2 anniversary.
It's happening.
Multiplayer there. We'll see what happens.
I hope, man. I hope.
We'll see what happens. I'm not going to hope too big, but I'll hope. So.
Faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, for sure. Thanks for having us on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I did promise this at the beginning, so for the chat room, this is your chance to ask questions. We'll do it for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll wrap up the show. So if you have questions, give them to us now.
Give me all the questions.
Yes, give us your questions. In the meantime, make sure you do check out our website, podtacular.com. And if you have any questions regarding this show, any of our past shows, or if you have any kind of Halo 4 information or stories from gameplay that you've had, please email us at submissions@podtacular.com, or you can use our submission form from our homepage with the green button that we have at the top of the site. Make sure you follow us on all our social networks, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and we do our live stream shows now for all of our shows that we do, with few exceptions down the road. But whenever we have a live show, we will be tweeting out about it. But we do live shows every Thursday at 8 p.m. because we do that for the bulletin updates. So you're guaranteed a live show every Thursday at 8, unless there's a contingency, and then we'll let you know if that happens. And then for shows like we're doing right now, they're kind of ad hoc. We'll tweet out Facebook and all that stuff for when we do shows that are kind of outside that regular time interval. And if you are on Twitch, you can subscribe to When We Go Broadcast. You can go on there, and if you have an account, sign in. And then when you go to our page, you can click on the follow button, and you'll receive an email notification whenever we go live. So, yeah. I got this down pat, man.
Did you just freestyle that off the top, or
I freestyle it every time. It's different every single time.
You're a veteran, man. Honestly,
I know. I was just waiting for it, whatever. You know, I'm like, it's coming.
I've been doing this for 2008. So I've been doing this for 4.5 years.
Yeah. Nice.
I've been podcasting.
5 years it's coming out, man. That's pretty huge.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Jeez, I've had. Yeah. I have almost 200 podcasts under my belt.
My God,
it's ridiculous. The
editing those, like, props for that. I don't know how I could listen to that and go through and just
I've developed a process where I can usually spit out a podcast an hour after recording.
God,
nice.
So you will see this podcast up tonight.
Jeez,
nice.
Yeah. So I'm that good.
Rank the podcast, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of a podcast king, not to brag or anything, but I've been around the block a few times.
Knows what you're doing.
Yeah. Make sure you check out, we have some questions. I'm still wrapping up, but make sure you check out our live streams every Monday and Wednesday when we do our game nights. Monday nights is Monday Night Matchmaking, which begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 5:30 p.m. Eastern time. Pacific time. That's 1:30 a.m. UTC. And the same goes for Wednesday nights when we do our Wacky Wednesdays, which is our customs night. And you guys probably just heard the motorcycle in the background. Yeah, Wacky Wednesdays is Wednesday nights. And then for next week, we are doing our premier Halo 2 Vista game night. It's Halo 2 Tuesday. Oh. And we will be doing that at 8:30 as well. And we will be getting on Halo 2 Vista and playing some multiplayer on there. So if you guys want to try to get some achievements, you can probably go out and find a copy of Halo 2 at your local electronics store, like Best Buy, or if you're if you have them, fries.
Free? Am I crazy?
Halo 2 Vista? No, I don't think it's free, but you can probably pick it up for 10 or 15 bucks. So it's an easy 1,000 gamer score.
Yeah.
If you're a veteran Halo player.
Hey, you guys must be happy that they didn't end it last month and extended that.
Yeah. So that's kind of what kind of sparked this game night. So every second and fourth Tuesday of every month until Halo 4 kicks the can, or sorry, Halo 2 kicks the can, we're going to be doing this game night.
Again.
Yeah.
Hopefully they can survive next time.
Yeah. And I haven't quite worked on the streaming setup for that, but if it's possible, we will be streaming that one as well on Twitch.
Nice.
All right. So some of the questions, Little Noah asks, why the name Beyond Entertainment?
I didn't come up with it, so it's not.
Well, like I said before, Muggsy contacted me, and we were just kind of throwing around name ideas, you know? And we didn't want, like, you know, for example, like, you see the Halo Council, right?
Yeah.
Like, their name. We didn't want to have, and this isn't a knock on them or anything, but we did not want to have, just from what I've seen on their website, we did not want to have Halo, like, in our name, right? Or gaming or anything like that. Just so it kind of leaves like an open ended. So let's say it really takes off in like, you know, a couple years, we kind of want to move into something else. We aren't like held down by our name. Like, for example, the Halo Council. Destiny, for example.
Yeah, that's our big thing is because when I joined on, I wanted to make sure we did Destiny coverage because all of us here even are huge Bungie fans.
I'm really, really excited for what Destiny's going to bring to the
table. Dude, it looks so sick, man. It looks so sick.
As far as Pod Tackler is concerned, we're primarily going to be focused on Halo, but, I mean, Destiny comes around, I'm sure I'm going
to
be playing that.
You have to. It's Bungie, you know what I'm saying? Bungie's Halo. Yeah. It just kind of all ties in. So, but with Halo Council, when they started to cover, like, I saw a couple, like, when the Sony, whatever, the PlayStation stuff was coming out, they put a couple articles on Halo Council about, on their front page about PlayStation, right? Mm-hmm. And people just lost it, man. They're like, what is this? Like, this is a Halo site. Like, I don't want to read about PlayStation, blah, blah, blah. So we didn't want to, like, run into anything like that if we started covering, like, other gaming-related, like, topics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, obviously, we're focused on Halo and some Destiny, and we wouldn't be moving into that. But just from that experience, we didn't really want to put, like,
you know, caught in a corner, per se.
Yeah, get pushed into a corner where we're just whatever. So
the
Beyond name, we were just throwing around names. Muggsy actually came up with it. He threw out Beyond, and I was like, it sounds cool, but let's keep going. And we eventually came back to it. We just, you know, it kind of stuck out. It sounded cool. And we just kind of went with that. So
cool.
Oh yeah.
There's another question in here about Siren and the Halo Council and how you moved on. I know this is kind of a touchy subject. Do you want to talk about it? I mean, if not, we can move on to another question.
No, we can do it, yeah. Basically, we just had some creative differences in the future of the site, per se, and I just felt it was just best to split out of there. We had a lot of success over 2012, and like, I think the biggest misconception about me and some of the content guys leaving is that we just jumped ship over here, which is not actually how it happened. We just left and, just happened to talk to Joe, and it just seemed like the right move at the time, since they had the same, point of view for things and content that we wanted to do, and it's just been working out great so far.
Yeah, Pete, that's a really big thing where it just seems like they just kind of they left for us. That's like a really big misunderstanding. What really happened was we were getting this group together, right? And I've teamed with Ray at events, and we're friends and stuff, and he does a lot of stuff on the Halo Council. So I would actually Skype him and was like, hey man, I'm getting this group together. You like basically contacting him for like cross promotion type of stuff with Halo Council for what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said, yeah, I'll get back to you. Like, I'll have to ask, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, a couple days later, I guess they had a falling out, and, or I think at that point he had actually already left, but didn't say anything to me about it. Because usually Ray's like, yeah, for sure. Like, you know what I mean?
I left, but I didn't.
He didn't announce it yet.
That's kind of hard.
He didn't want to cause any drama or whatever.
Alert. Or whatever.
Yeah. And so he had already left at that point, and I asked him, hey, like, explain to him what we were doing. Like, can we count on some, like, front page articles, or, like, if we put out a nice video, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it just turns out that he had already left, and he thought what we were doing was a good idea, and he asked to come on. And obviously, you know, I'm good friends with Ray, and they did some good stuff at Halo Council, all their content and stuff. So I would be an idiot really not to bring them on, you know?
All right. And that was by Royal Type, by the way. I didn't read him off. Sorry. But there's one more question in here, and then we'll close this show up for good. Fresh Todd? I'm not sure.
Fresh to death.
Fresh is, oh, okay. Fresh to death. Thank you. I was getting a little confused by the name. Fresh to death wants to know if Snipe Down is still on the Go Beyond team along with Formal.
Yes and no. It's difficult because they are working out. I don't think they've announced this at all, so I really have to toe the line.
Yeah, we can't really.
In the ways of
Jessica would say, you can either confirm or deny.
I mean, it's like 50-50. It's like if a deal that they're working out behind the scenes doesn't work, like then yeah, they're down, because we've already talked to them. They're 100% down. But if a deal that they're doing goes through, like they legally can't. That's pretty much how I can say.
Okay.
Without really exposing all of it. So it's not that they're just like, you know, not on. It's like kind of complicated, but
I see.
You know, other
we're waiting
that,
for that to go through the, because we don't want to remove any content or anything. So it's not
right. That's like, if the deal goes through, any content they make has to be deleted, kind of a thing. That's, they're doing something off the side that's complicated. So right now we're kind of focusing on everybody else who wants to make content before we, you know, like Ray said, we don't want to have them make something and have to take it down. Because obviously that would be
bad. I think that's one of the things that kind of sucks too, is that people are like, oh, you got these pros, they're just lazy. I'm like, no, they're
in their case, it's
yeah, I think that's the misconception that's going on. Like, you don't know, like, people like Dursky and Walshy and shit, they're, they're doing stuff like combat. Yeah,
Dursky definitely not lazy.
Oh yeah, Dursky surprised me. Honestly,
he's the man. He's the man.
Yeah, nice. All right, that's all the questions that we have in the chat. So thank you guys for asking the questions, and I want to extend my thanks again very much to Siren, Saucy, and Ghostyami for taking the time out of their days to come on our show and give us a little behind the scenes of Beyond Entertainment and have some really good down-to-earth discussions about Halo 4 competitive multiplayer. So
yeah, thanks again.
Thanks for having us
on. Yeah, so thanks again to you guys. Remember, you can check them out on their YouTube, Twitter, at GoBeyondENT, all that good stuff. And make sure you check us out at our website and social networks and all that good stuff. And with that said, we are out for the evening. Thanks again to the live stream. If you haven't listened to us on live stream, make sure you check us out. PodTechLive.com/Twitch or Twitch.tv/PodTechLive. We have redirects for just about all of our social media stuff kind of embedded. So if you just do PodTechLive/whatever, if we have it, it'll redirect you to wherever we go. So definitely check us out. Send us emails. Listen to what you guys think. And that is it for our show tonight. And we will see you guys next time.
See you later.